Would you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 24? Acts chapter 24, verse 10. Let me ask you this question. How many of you would raise hand if you were asked, is there anyone who sometimes procrastinate the things you are supposed to do, but you really don't want to do? And one time or another, we all have done it, right? But some people are more inclined to procrastinate for just about anything than others. You may know a few of them, or you might be one of them. Good evidence of a procrastination is a garage that is filled with unfinished projects. I have a few. Don't ask me too many questions regarding those. Good intentions, started well, and then you lost interest, so that's what the garage is for, right? The original Greek word for the garage is a storage room. So there you go. You justified. And then messy room. You don't pick up the things that where it's supposed to go. Or unmade bed, which is my favorite thing. Because I can just get in the bed and say, my wife like have this all these fancy pillows on the bed. Every now we have to put that thing on. Why can't we just get in the bed? I saw this funny comic strip from Calvin and Hobbes. He said, I should be doing my homework, Calvin says, but the way I look at it, playing in the snow is a lot more important. Out here, I'm learning real skills that I can apply throughout the rest of my life, such as, Hobbes asks, procrastinating and rationalizing. Right on, Calvin. It seems legit. It is one thing to procrastinate chores around the house, but it is a completely different thing for us to procrastinate what God tells us to do. In spiritual reality, it is a defiance to God, because we defiantly say, no, I'm not now. I know what you want me to do, but not now. And to unbelievers, if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, it is very hazardous for your eternal health. Like a cigarette warning on the side. Since Paul came back to Jerusalem and to be a part of the day of Pentecost in temple, it's been 12 days. This is the 13th day. Finally, he gets to meet the Roman governor as a judge, and Drusilla, his wife, and even the Jewish delegation who came down from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And he's finally having a court day. However, from the God's point of view, Paul is not on trial. The one who was in trial is Felix, the governor, his wife, Drusilla, and this Jewish hotshot. And they are facing the truth of God. When Felix was confronted with the truth, and he had to make a most important decision of his life. But guess what he did? He came up with the man's and people's favorite excuse. Later. I'll do it later. Let's stop and pray. Father, as we know, it's one thing for us to put off and postpone the things that is not so important. But the things that you tell us to is extremely important, whether it's a small thing or big things. Father, let us never come to that point we say no to you or later, but always say, yes, Lord, and do it at your command. Speak to our heart. Teach us the principle to say yes to you all the time. Because you are our master, you are our Lord. Not because we can get away. Because you are good and righteous. Father, let us not take your love for granted. Behind that love, behind that kindness, behind that mercy, You have a righteousness and holiness. As your word said, fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. Father, let us use your wisdom wisely. Father, we are asking you to watch over our troops, especially the one in the harm's ways. We heard the Commander Sergeant Major was killed not very long ago. Comfort his family. And we are asking you to comfort all the families who are away from their family members. We pray for law enforcement personnel and firefighters who protect our lives. We also pray for President Obama that he may say yes to you, not later. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 10 of chapter 24, please. Then Paul, after the governor has nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogue or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me." Verse 14, "But this I confess to you, that according to way which they call a sect, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have a hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with a tumult. These are to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me, or else let those who are here they themselves say it if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement which I cried out standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day." Paul began by addressing Felix, not sickening flatter like Tertullus did, that the other side did, but with a simple, polite honesty. As far as the temple charges are concerned, the temple record shows that Paul paid the four people's sacrifice, the Nazarite vow cost. And he was not with any riot crowd. He was not doing anything wrong. Besides, Paul had been in Jerusalem only a week, 1 week. That's not enough time to organize and lead the rebellion against the Jews or Romans. By the way, Tertullus, you guys remember, that he called Christianity the sect of Nazarenes. If you were here the last Sunday, do you remember that? I'm sure that some of you read the book of Acts. As if it was the sect of Nazarene is some sort of a crowd of the people who wants to rebel against Roman government. Paul did not call the sect of Nazarene. He called the way. Because the Christianity is more than a religion. Rather, it is the way to live for God. When somebody asks me, "What is your religion?" and I usually answer them, "I do not have a religion." And then they ask me, "What is your denomination?" I'm non-denomination. They are very uncomfortable. It's a, I do not have a religion, but I have a Christianity in my heart. Because it's the way I live for God. The word Christian first started at Antioch of Syria, where the Apostle Paul headquarters his missionary ministry. And it was the name Christianity is very much, pretty much localized in the Antioch, that area. It was not popular among the people. And at this time of the period of the story, it was very much limited. Now the Paul reached in the heart of his defense, because it was required by law, the accuser must face accused. Just like now. Because modern day law is a pretty much copy of a Roman law. Ananias cunningly chose not to bring those Jews from Asia, the Hellenistic Jews, because he knew that in the cross-official examination, their accusation would fall apart. So conveniently, those guys not here, really. For my own curiosity, we have a criminal law attorney in our congregation, the Jeff Thorpe. I asked him, can a police charge or indict a person without evidence, without eyewitness? He said, no, there's no way. You can walk into the detective's office and confess your crime, but they cannot do anything unless there's some sort of a shred of evidence or eyewitness of your crime. This is the case in point. Paul, in this case, they are charging all these things, three charges, but they do not have evidence, they do not have charges, and they do not have an eyewitness. Eyewitness is a hearsay. Oh, I think I saw him rioting, insulting, and ridiculing God and the temple. They were thinking it was all hearsay. Jewish religious delegation accused Paul of being anti-Jews and anti-Roman, but they could not produce any evidence either of the charges. Go down to verse 22, please. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge, I want you to note that, please. Having more accurate knowledge of the way, that's Christianity, he adjourned the proceeding and said, when the Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. Later. Here it is. Later. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have a liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. Now, Felix, think about it. Felix, this is a government official, politician. He was caught in between the rock and the hard place because he knew Paul was innocent, clearly. But at the same time, he didn't want to stir up the situation with these powerful Jews. Bless you. He knew all this. So, before I go there, the habit of the always putting off something you need to do until you can afford, or until the time is right, or until you know how to do it, is one of the greatest burglars of the joy. You with me on that? Always putting off, you losing that joy, getting things done. Be deliberate, but once you made up your mind, don't say, oh, okay, I made up my mind, but I will do it later. No, jump in, do it. I like what Benjamin Franklin said. You may delay, but time will not. You may delay, but time will not. Go back to verse 22, please. Did you notice what it said in verse 22 regarding the Felix knowledge about the way? He had a more accurate knowledge of the way, which means he heard about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he knew and he heard about what Jesus did while he was on the earth. He saw the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he chose to stay in the darkness of his own depravity. How many people, majority of mankind, choose to stay in their own darkness? to calm his own conscience for unnecessary delaying the Paul's release, he said to the centurion, "Oh, give him the liberty. He can have his visitors anytime he wants. Just don't release him." Some biblical scholars believe that this is the time, during this time, while Paul was under the custody of Felix and Caesarea, he wrote the book of Hebrews. I know there's a lot of confusion and dispute on the authorship of the book of Hebrews. I believe it was Paul who wrote the book because he was there in the Jerusalem church and he eyewitnessed the people, congregation of Jerusalem church, the Christian church, is leaning back toward the tradition of the law. Because it's easy to fall back into the tradition and customs they are familiar with instead of something new. As many of you know, the book of Hebrews gives a stern warning against going back and trying to find a righteous standing before God by law or and human effort, as well as showing them the superiority of Christianity over Judaism, for that matter, for anything else. Verse 24, please. And after some day, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about I want you to notice these three things, righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Do you know what the Felix did? He was afraid. Some of your versions say he was terrified. And answered, "Go away for now. Later. I'll do it later. When I have a convenient time, I will call you. I will call for you. Verse 26. Meanwhile, he also hoped that the money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Festus, succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do Jews a favor, left Paul bound. For whatever reason, Felix and his wife Drusilla wanted to talk with the Apostle Paul. And, you know, about the Christianity faith in Jesus Christ. That's an open door for any preacher, wouldn't you say? I want to know more about Jesus Christ. Really? Tell me. How much time do you have? So he was giving out the three-point sermon here. Righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. This is perfectly catered for these people. Dr. Luke gave us only 3 points. We don't know the entire sermon, but here's the three important points. Number one, righteousness. We had to do something about yesterday's sin. We had to do something about yesterday's sin. Did you notice the word, the very word sin? It means the Mr. Mark. Original word. The very word sin is gradually disappearing from the people's vocabulary now. They no longer want to use "I have sinned" or "somebody sinned." Not only the word sin is disappearing, the notion. And it's been replaced with something else, like a mistake, weaknesses, inherited tendency, fault, and even error. My favorite thing, people's favorite excuse is, "Oh, I was born this way." No, you were not born that way. I was not born as a sinner. I was not born as that kind of added things. I was born with a sinful nature. And I'm not a sinner because I was born with a sinful nature. I'm a sinner because I sin against God. Take a responsibility. And they don't want to face up the fact of the sin. And we can never save our own righteousness of good works. We can be never saved. We can only be saved through Christ's righteousness made available by His finished work on the cross. Do you know, pastors, even the pastors and Bible teachers don't want to talk about sins? I'm sure you heard a guy named Joel Osteen, and he said, "I never talk about sin to our congregation." Then why you bother to pick up the Bible? Second point Paul mentioned is self-control. We must do something about today's temptation. You know, man can control just about anything and everything except himself and herself. Would you agree? Here's a Felix and Drusilla, prime example of total lack of control. She had, I read the history. Drusilla was, I heard that she was the most beautiful woman in that region, in entire Palestine. When she was 16, she was married to this, I forgot the guy and this guy's name. It's a long name. And then when Felix came along, and he conned her to divorce her husband and marry him. And she was willing to do it because her current husband was so-so guy, and here is the governor of the Palestine. Not Palestine, Philistine. So she chose to divorce him and get into this new marriage. She became a third wife of Felix. And Felix himself, this is unrestrained guy. He will lie, he will kill anyone to promote himself to get rid of his enemies. They either one of them understand the meaning of self-control. Third point, the judgment to come. We must do something about the tomorrow's judgment. Whether you like it or not, Jesus Christ is either Savior by your own choice or He's your judge by your own choice. Felix was afraid in verse 25, terrified. Woman leaders, they kind of take a pride in themselves in not showing the emotions, being stoical in any circumstance. But conviction from the God gripped his heart and he could not hide. Paul had diagnosed the case and offered a remedy. And it was up to Felix to receive it. So what did Felix do? Later, he procrastinated. Listen, procrastination is the thief of time and of soul by Satan, who used it against humans very effectively. Let me say one more time. This is very important. Procrastination is the thief of time and of soul by Satan, who used it against humans very effectively. Especially spiritual matter. Dr. Clarence McCartney, he's a great American theologian of yesteryear. He gave this fictional story, but it has a principle and precept of the concept is very much from the Bible. He said, Satan called for a meeting of his four chief demons in his domain. They showed up. And Satan said, we need a new set of deception to hold more people's soul trapped in. So I want you to come up with the lies. And the first demon popped in and said, I have a solution. I'll go to earth and tell everyone that there is no God. Satan looked at him and said, were you born yesterday? Everybody knows there is a God. All they got to do is just look around. There is God. That's not going to work. Second one popped in. He said, oh, I'll tell them that there is no heaven. He said, no, that's not going to work either. Because people can, everybody knows that there is a life after death and they want to go to heaven. And third demon said, well, I'll tell them that there is no hell. They don't have to worry about the judgment. He said, that's not going to work either. Because their conscience testifies against them. and they know the judgment is coming. Fourth demon, from the darkness of the shadow, he said quietly, I have a solution for you, your eminence. I'll go to the earth, and I will tell everyone, there is no hurry. You can do it later. For a while, Satan sat motionless, and he sat there and started to have a green, wide grin from ear to ear, and started to let out his hideous and long laugh. He said, that will work. The best time to trust Jesus Christ is now. The best time to repent from our sins and obey His commandment is now. If you've been, you know that God has been telling you to do something, and you say, later God, I can't hear you, are you breaking up God? That's not going to work. Repent and obey. I want you to pay attention to what happened to Felix's heart between verse 25 and verse 26. Go back there, please. Verse 25. Now, as he reasoned about the righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Verse 26. Meanwhile, he also hoped that the money would be given him by Paul. Did you see that? He was afraid one moment, and then as time passed, as he postponed, as he procrastinated more and more, his heart got harder. Now he wants money. The narrow. Where's the mullah? He was thinking that he can make money on Paul. Speaking of money, listen, procrastination is a lot like a credit card. It's easy to use, but no pressure until the bills show up. You may have heard about the name Skip Isaac, the senior pastor of Calvary, Albuquerque, in New Mexico. Before he moved out to New Mexico, after he got saved, there were times when he was growing in the Lord, and he was excited about newfound faith in the Lord. So he was witnessing to anyone he can find. He was witnessing this particular guy time after time after time, and each time he did that, this particular guy had the same answer: "I will do it later." I will do it later. One particular evening, the Lord spoke to Skip's heart, go witness to this man. So he jumped in the car without any hesitation. He drove 100 miles one way, and he witnessed to this man again. You need to come to know Jesus Christ today, right here, right now. Do you know what that man said? I'll do it later. 2 weeks later, that man died. That man was Skip's own brother. He knew his own brother died without Jesus Christ, and now he is in hell. Two applications. Number one, procrastination dulls the edge of the awareness of your spirit. It dulls the edge of your awareness of your spirit. Each time you say, I will do it later, conviction from the Holy Spirit becomes less effective. Eventually, we have a little more than lethargic yawn to Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, God, I got it. I'll do it later. Soon, thick callus will build around your heart, around your conscience. And you will not hear the Holy Spirit's conviction anymore. You think I'm speaking wrong things? Do you think I'm lying to you? No, if you think I'm lying to you, your heart is callous right now. That's why you think, not really. If you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and each time you say no to Him, I'll do it later, oh no, that's not true, your heart is becoming callous one step higher and one step thicker. Second application. Procrastination blinds the mind with a lesser issue. In your life, have you pushed aside the spiritual concern and let other things fill your view? Take a hold of your spiritual concern matter and take action to be obedient to Him first. If you need forgiveness, repent, and God will forgive you. Seek Jesus. If you need hope, God will give it to you. Don't close your Bible. Open it back up. Go to Matthew chapter 6, please. Chapter 6, verse 33. This is the priority and should be in your life. What does it say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what does it say? All these things shall be added to you. So you take care of God's priority first, everything else will start to fall in. God is faithful to forgive you. God is faithful to give you hope. God is faithful to take care of what you need if you seek His priority first. Amen?